Welcome to the Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
You know, Jesus is, we know the story of Jesus' betrayal and then his being hauled before the Jewish high court, the high priest, and then he's taken to the Roman authorities because the high priest could not kill anyone. They needed to have the Roman authority to crucify people, and they wanted Jesus crucified. And so Jesus goes to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, and he interviews him, all right? And so what happens is we're going to pick it up in John chapter 18 and verse 33, and it says this: Pilate had a bit of a confab with the high priests, and he has a discussion with him. Then he comes inside, and this is what he says to Jesus in verse 33. Pilate went back inside the palace, summons Jesus, and asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" Verse 34, "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" Okay, so what's happened is the high priest have come to Pontius and said, "Listen, but we need to deal with this, okay? Because this guy thinks he's the Jewish Messiah, the prophesied king of our nation, which means that he wants to usurp your throne and your authority. And he's leading a rebellion. He's an insurrectionist. We need to crucify him. We need to kill him." Okay? So Jesus says, "Is that your own idea? Or did others talk to you about me?" In other words, I know you've been talking to those guys, and did you come up with this on your own, or have you been influenced by that? Verse 35, "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Now Jesus keeps on talking about this king idea that Pilate has brought. Because in verse 36, Jesus says this. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But my kingdom is from another place." Now I gotta love Pontius Pilate's next verse 37. And he's being very sarcastic. In my Bible, it's exclamation mark, and he goes, "Woo! So you're a king then?" You know, he has this criminal being brought to him. He's in the pound seat, and he's like, "Wow, I didn't realize I'm standing in royalty's presence. So you're a king then." Now, I want to ask you this question. What do you think Jesus is thinking about while he's having this discussion with Pontius Pilate? Because I think there's some very definite thoughts and things that are going through Jesus' mind. And we're going to look at them. But listen to Jesus' response. It's phenomenal. Jesus answered, "You're right in saying that I'm a king. In fact, for this reason, I was born. And for this reason, I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." But to grasp the gravity and the weight of what Jesus is saying is a gift from God in this verse. So one, Jesus says, 100% I'm a king. Two, he says, In fact, I came to earth to inherit that kingdom, to be born a king. And he says, fourthly, that my kingdom is a kingdom of truth. It's a kingdom of truth. Remember, Jesus said before, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." You see, Jesus claims that he has got the corner on absolute truth. Now in 2016, we live in a world that is very relative. And the world has thrown away any idea of moral absolutes or truthful absolutes. Would you say that's a fair statement to make? It is proud, it is brash, it is politically incorrect, and it is completely wrong to say that you could ever claim to have a corner on truth in 2016. Whatever, 17. Okay? Am I right? Hey guys, are we all on the same page there? I want to suggest to you this morning that that idea of non-moral absolutes and nobody can corner the truth is not a new idea, but it is an idea and a lie that has been around since Jesus had this conversation with Pilate. Because I want you to look at Pilate's response to Jesus' idea of him being the truth. Listen to what Pilate says, verse 38. What is truth? Pilate asked. Now, you've got to understand what Pilate is saying there. Who is Pilate? He's a Roman governor. Who does he represent? He represents the Emperor of Rome. And the Emperor of Rome was worshipped as a god. And as long as you said, Caesar is Lord, Caesar is deified, Caesar's my Lord, you could have little lords. If you said Caesar is Lord and Jesus is little Lord, you were sweet. But you could never say that your Lord was bigger than Caesar. They would chop your head off or crucify you. So Pilate is saying, Jesus, come on, man. What is truth? We Romans, we believe this. You Jews, you believe that. The Hittites, the Philistines. I'm living in this flipping, God-forsaken Palestine place. There's all these nations, all of your beliefs. And you tell me that you, a criminal bound before me, know the truth. Get a laugh, man. What a joke. That's his response. Very similar to the response today. To Alpha Course and the claims that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I want to suggest to you that you need to have an opinion on Jesus, and you need to know you need to at least have read the Bible. Do you understand that the Bible is the reason why they made the printing press? Do you know that the Bible is the best-selling book every year since the printing press was invented, and not by a small margin, but if you are running the 100 meters, when the gun goes, the Bible finishes the line in 1 second, every other book finishes in 10 seconds. That's the scale of the... If you had to put the Bible on the best-selling author list, it would never have ever left New York's bestseller, not once in all of the years. Now, if you're an intellectual person and you're a thinking person and you've not read the Bible, I ask you why. Why? Surely this book needs your attention. And the central figure of that book, Jesus Christ, needs your thoughts and attention. Because let me just ask you this question. What if, like this truth, I'm going to show you a truth that you can never change. Whoopsie. See, even the mark is affected by the gravity. You cannot deny the existence of gravity. I mean, yes, Tony in front of me is a builder. But if you ignore gravity when you're building, Tony, you're going to have some problems, am I right? Okay. You ignore gravity at your peril. I want to suggest to you that if Jesus is who he said he was, and if he is the truth, and you've chosen to ignore him, you've got a big wake-up call coming one day. Take the time to do the investigation. Amen? So Pilate says, look, I found no basis for charge against him. But as it is your custom, in verse 39, I will release to you one prisoner from the Passover. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Verse 40, they shout back, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now, Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. And he has the gospel. Jesus is dying. He's going to be crucified. And Pilate says, listen, I'm going to release two criminals. I can release Jesus, innocent man, or I can release a guilty rebellionist. And who goes free? The guilty rebellionist. And who gets crucified and punished in his place? His sinless perfection, an innocent man. And right in there, we have the gospel. Why did Jesus come to earth? He came to die. And why did he have to die? As a ransom for the forgiveness of your sin and mine. Hilton will tell you that he was a rebellionist. Brad will tell you that he was a rebellionist. I will tell you that I was a proper rebellionist. But by God's grace, Jesus intervened in our lives and we saw the truth and we realized that we can be forgiven of our sins, washed clean, and not just forgiven, but be set free from the power that besets me of sin. You see, there's two parts to the gospel. One is the forgiveness of sin. The other is the deliverance from sin. And Jesus came to deal with both. And that gives us Christians hope. The leopard can change its spots, and I can become the man that I'm destined to be because Jesus lives inside of me and he gives me the power to change. You're not doomed to be the same you are for the rest of your life. We see it all the time in church, all over the place, how people transform before our eyes. And that is the gospel. Now, I'll ask you this question. What do you think Jesus is thinking about? Here he is, AD 33, talking to a Roman governor. And he's saying, hey, my kingdom is not from this place. It's from another place. Very briefly, I want to suggest to you that he's thinking about Daniel. Chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. Now for homework, because I'm cutting this short, you need to go read Daniel chapter 2. But Daniel was written about 535 BC. So if the pulpit represents AD 33, what are we living in? 2017. What? Since what? Since when? Since Christ. I'm taking you back to 535 BC, before Christ. Okay? Daniel chapter 2 and verse 45. We're going to read this. This is what I think Jesus is thinking about while he's speaking to Pontius Pilate. Verse 44 and 45. I'm just giving you the highlights this morning. It's the king Nebuchadnezzar, real king, actually lived. Any historical book will tell you that there was a Babylonian kingdom, and the Babylonian king that ruled during this time when Daniel was there was King Nebuchadnezzar. All right? This is not fiction. So this is non-fiction, not fiction. Okay, this is the truth. In the time, so the guy has a dream, and Daniel interprets the dream for him. And he sees this statue, a head of gold, chest of silver, thighs of bronze, and then legs of feet of clay and silver mixed. And now he's interpreting, and then he saw this rock come and smash that statue, grind it to dust, and blow it away. Listen to what it says, verse 44. In the time of those kings, well, let's go back a little bit. Verse 39. Verse 36. Sorry, I'm giving the lady at the back the grrr, she's going like crazy. Verse 36. That was the dream, and now I'll interpret for you. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and might and power and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and beasts of the field and birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler of them all. You are the head of gold. After you, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom as strong as iron, for iron smashes and breaks everything. And as iron breaks and smashes things to pieces, so it will break all other things. Just as you saw the feet and the toes were partly baked of iron and clay, so this will be a divided kingdom. Okay, we're going to jump down to verse 44. In the time of those kings, in the time of the kings of the feet of iron and clay, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. It will never be, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it itself will endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut from the mountain, a rock cut not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. Its dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. So Daniel is prophesying to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, King Nebuchadnezzar, you are king of Babylon. You're ruling now. There's going to come a second kingdom after yours. And it was the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. Ever saw the movie 300? Remember King Xerxes of the Medes and the Persians? Okay, that was him. Then he says there's going to come the Medes and the Persians. After them is going to come the Greeks, Alexander the Great. And 300 was about the transition of power from the Medes and the Persians to the Greeks. Then he says after the Greeks is going to come another kingdom, the Roman kingdom. And then he says in the time of the Roman kingdom, the King of heaven, is going to set up a kingdom on earth. And it is going to last forever. It's going to start further on in the before the chapter says this. This rock came as a rock, and the rock grew to become a huge mountain, and that whole mountain filled the whole earth. Now, Jesus is talking with who? Pontius Pilate. Who is? A Roman governor. And the Roman governor says to him, hey, but are you a king? And Jesus is like, you could say that. I want to suggest to you. Now, just let me pause there for a second before we understand it. We are sitting, 2017. We are sitting in South Africa four ways. We are about 12,000 kilometers from Jerusalem. Yes? And we are worshiping Jesus. Which means the rock that struck the statue there in Jerusalem has reached us. I'm traveling on a plane tomorrow. I'm flying two flights, 24 hours. I'm going to Colombia. And I'm going to visit the church in Colombia. And the gospel has got there. In June, I flew all the way to New Zealand. And I was ministering in a church there. And the gospel has got there. 2,000 years after this prophet Jesus encounter with Pilate, Christianity has grown into a kingdom and into a mountain that has covered the whole planet. My friends, this is amazing. And this was prophesied by Daniel 555 BC before any of those kingdoms came into existence. So Daniel had faith to prophesy forward. We have faith to look back and say, God is amazing and His word is true. There were these four kingdoms and there was Jesus and He did set up a kingdom. And that kingdom has gone throughout the whole earth. And how has it gone? Through local churches with leadership. And that's the significance, Hilton, today. You, my friend, have become... When you got born again, you became part of an unstoppable, unshakable, immovable kingdom. Wow. And you've grown and you've matured in your core. But now, my friend, God has placed you into authority and leadership. And you need to understand, you're providing executive leadership for the only kingdom on earth that's going to go from time into eternity. Yes. Church, are you with me this morning? Yes. I want to tell you, if you were here, when they were building this building, put up your hands. Just look, hi for me. Okay, look around, church. I guess that's 5% of this congregation. Am I right? For all of the rest of you, let me tell you what you're doing. You are sitting in someone else's sacrifice. $8 million is what it costs to build this building. Am I right? With the land and all the things. Every one of you that were not here and put money into the $8 million or sitting in someone else's sacrifice because people in this church paid R8 million for you to sit in that chair. Now listen, salvation is free, but just because it's free doesn't mean it was cheap. Now you have the privilege of paying and sacrificing on behalf of someone else to join this church by contributing to Alpha. Like someone sacrificed for you to sit in that chair. And your contribution is part of an eternal kingdom that will last forever and ever. And you've got this guarantee from Jesus. Everyone that gives to me, I'm no man's debtor. You'll never outgive me. See, my friends, you've got to understand. Jesus is talking with Pilate and I'm thinking he's going like, I mean, you've got to see the irony. This is Jesus. This is the creator of heaven and earth. He has got creator rights to the planet. Do you understand that? Okay, picture this. Someone pulls into your home that you own. And they start living in your home like you don't even exist. They chow your food, they sleep in your bed, they use all of your stuff, and they just tune you deaf ears. They completely ignore you. They just, it's not as if you're there. Have you ever had, for those of you that have got a property that you've rented out and you put tenants in, they refuse to pay you, they refuse to take your calls, they skip. They just do whatever they want. Yeah, is Jesus, the owner of the planet, being interrogated by one of the devious tenants, and he thinks he's got it all together. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is meek. Now, let me tell you what meekness is. Meekness is a great strength that is under control. Jesus could have just gone like this to Pilate. Boom, he would have exploded. He could have exploded. Sodom and Gomorrah, three angels called down fire from heaven, the whole place is destroyed. One angel of death, Egypt, firstborn, all killed. Peter cuts off Jesus' ear, Peter cuts off the guard's ear that comes to arrest Jesus. Jesus says to him, Peter, put away your sword. But don't you know, I can call on 12 legions of angels and my Father will send them. A legion is 7,000 angels, 12 of them is 49,000. What's going to happen to the earth if Jesus summons his 49,000 angels? This is what's going to happen. Sci-fi movie. Jesus just goes, blink. Have you ever seen the planet explode in a sci-fi movie? Boom! And Jesus is suspended in midair and everything is gone. That's the power that Jesus had to wield in that moment. And he says, you know what? I love this planet. I came to die. So I'm going to suck it up and take up all of your nonsense. I'm going to let people exist on this planet and they can, excuse me now, they can do this to me. But it doesn't matter. Because some of them are not going to do that. They're going to bow their knee and accept my kingship and accept my lordship and accept my forgiveness and accept my grace. And they are the ones that I built this planet for. And they are the ones that I'm coming back for to take to eternity with me. For the joy set before him, he endured this cross and he scorned its shame. And you, my friends, the church, and those that will come to Alpha are the ones that Jesus came for. Now the Bible says this. What will happen to us if we ignore such a great salvation?